اوكي ان شاء الله. بسم الله والحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. So alhamdulillah, you guys had a really great opportunity last week to learn from Ustadh Mahmood, who mashallah is our new teacher, our new staff member here in the Roots community. We're really blessed to have him, mashallah. He was gracious enough to come and fill in for me and mashallah do a much better job than I do on a weekly basis. And you guys also know him from running headfirst under the glass doors. It was a joke. so those of you who are here, I'm just kidding. He's going to watch this live stream and kill me after this is over, actually. But mashallah, he's a very good friend of mine, alhamdulillah. And I'm sure you guys got to witness his ability to teach and reflect with everybody, mashallah. So really, really blessed to have, had him at the program, inshallah. And then for sure, I know that he's going to be more and more frequent on Thursday nights, and it'll be a great kind of, just presence to have, alhamdulillah, here on a weekly basis. So I was out of town last Thursday. I was in San Francisco, and our car did not get robbed, actually, which was surprising, right? Everyone was like, you're always, please just leave the doors unlocked and make sure you take everything out of the car. Alhamdulillah. There was no carjackings or robbings. It was okay. It was also 70 degrees all week. So when I landed in DFW on Saturday, I really felt like the gates of a glimpse of Jahannam were opened. When I got onto the jet bridge and I felt the draft of the oven air. You know guys what I'm talking about? Like when you open an oven after cooking like 400 degrees, you just open that oven, just blasts at your face. My wife and I were just kind of shocked. We're like, oh my God, what's happening? And then I realized it's Dallas, Texas. So it was an interesting, alhamdulillah. But it was a beautiful trip. Got to see some really fascinating things. How many of you guys have been to Northern California? Anybody here been to North Cal? Are you from there? Mashallah. San Fran? Okay, mashallah. Good. Very good. Yeah, we went to some really, really, I mean, it's a very beautiful place, actually. If you like get away from like the actual city, and go towards the more kind of like nature spots. I mean, it's very hard to beat, actually. We went to this beautiful state park called Muir State Park or Muir Woods. Saw these redwood trees that are basically like, 10, 15 feet wide and like 300 feet tall in the air. And even regardless seeing that stuff, my daughter still wanted lollipops and stared at the ground. So it was just like, It was an existential experience because I was trying to enjoy it, and then I realized I had a 2-year-old with me, and she tried everything to do to make me not enjoy it. But alhamdulillah, she did have a good time. By the end of the trip, she wanted to go to the beach every single day. I saw whales for the first time in my life, just in the water. They were just swimming and coming up from on top of the water and just grabbing at the birds that were flying above. It was such a crazy sight, honestly. It was just incredible, alhamdulillah, overall. And I encourage anybody, this is why, by the way, the ulama, they talk about this oftentimes in books about the beauty and the blessing of traveling. You get to when you travel, you get to experience so much, right? In a day and age where everything can be automized and easily accessible through internet and whatever, and the comfort of your home and from your phone. There's just a much different experience traveling somewhere and experiencing something with your own eyes and ears and just your entire self, right? When people come to Roots or even to Dallas in general, Qalam, Roots, even Valley Ranch or, East Plano Islamic Center, people say that, like, I've watched these videos from my home for, like, years. They've seen, like, the angle from, like, the teacher's chair and, like, they've seen pictures of the space. But when they come in person, it's a whole different experience, right? Things that we find very normal as people that are blessed to be here every single week. How many of you guys like just take a moment and realize that, alhamdulillah, Roots smells really good? that's a lot of the first people's experience that they tell me about when they come into Roots. They're like, what's that smell? Because usually, and it's kind of sad to admit that like a lot of our Islamic community experiences is associated with really weird scents. right? You walk into like a you walk into a masjid or community center, and you're like, why does it just smell like sour cream and onion chips in here? Like, you know, it's just a weird observation. But then you come to a place that actually cares about the experience, and you really, subhanAllah, and but you know, like that associative, you know, like the good experience through association. Like when you smell something nice, like the experience around you just feels nicer. When you see something beautiful, the experience around you seems more nice or more pleasant. So like, this is a reality, right? And so there's a huge blessing in traveling, experiencing things for yourself in person, seeing things, hearing things, witnessing things. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. So Ustaz Mahmoud, mashallah, last week went through with you guys essentially the entire chapter about the topic of amal, of actions, right? He ended with something really powerful, which was a quote from Hassan al-Basri. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he mentioned a statement here that's up on the screen. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to his ibad, his servants, on the day of judgment, that allow my servants to enter paradise and divide by my mercy, bi rahmati, by my mercy, and divide my mercy amongst them according to their deeds. Now, something powerful about this particular statement of Hassan al-Basri is that he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, udkhulu al-jannata bi rahmati, enter paradise bi rahmati, by my mercy. And we're going to talk about this today actually furthermore, which is that no one can attain paradise without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually completely and utterly true. There's no one. And we actually spent, and if you guys remember the series before the dua series, we did an entire series called the Mahajja Fisayd al-Dulja, right? Which basically is the reality of understanding and knowing the journey to Allah, knowing that no one can attain paradise based upon their deeds alone, right? That your admittance into paradise is based off of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, before anything else. Before your nafs convinces you that you worked hard, that you prayed a lot, that you fasted a lot, that you donated a lot, that you made a lot of dua, know that none of those things would matter in the slightest unless you actually believe and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. And that in and of itself will be the admittance ticket into Jannah for you. Okay? But then he says, وَأَقْسِمُوهَا بِقَدْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. He says, and divide it amongst them according to their deeds. Okay? So the mercy will get you into paradise, but the divvying up of that mercy will depend upon the good that you did. Now that you're in, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be divided up and given to you according to your a'mal, your deeds that you strived, that you worked so hard to do, right? So I wanted to actually share something that's very powerful here, because this is another evidence from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that proves this. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he said, it will be said to the companion of the Qur'an, Ahlul Qur'an, the people who often recited the Qur'an, recite and ascend as you recited in the world. Verily, your rank is determined by the last verse that you recite. What does this hadith mean? It means that your maqam, your rank, will be decided by the recitation and the beautification and the attention that you paid to the Qur'an. And again, the Prophet ﷺ is using the example of the Qur'an to illustrate to us the beauty of the Qur'an. But what is a more macro level observation of this hadith, which is that the recitation, the action you engage with the Qur'an with, is going to be something that plays a factor into how high of a level you ascend to, right? The mercy of Allah gets you in, and your deeds, your actions, they determine your level, your maqam, right? Because even in Jannah, y'all, I know how many of us, I mean, I know this thought has come across your mind because it's come across my mind. You're like, if I'm into Jannah, I'm in. I don't care what level I'm at, bro. Right? I don't care if it's seven. I heard there's seven of them. I don't care if it's seven. I don't care if it's three or one. I'm in. No. Once you get to Jannah, You want the best of it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. What does that dua mean? وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. I want the best of the akhirah as well. Like, yes, 7 levels of paradise exist. Why would you not want the highest level? Have you guys ever read narrations of the highest levels of paradise? That you will be able to see Allah Azza wa Jal. Who would not want that? Who would not want to be a part of that company? The highest levels of paradise will be inhabited by the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will be occupied by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Who would not want to be in that company? Don't settle. Don't settle. Aim for the highest level. You know, when it comes to, subhanAllah, and it's very weirdly reflective, right? You know, when it comes to the dunya, we have all these aspirations of being excellent and being the best and being the highest in our class and the highest in our jobs and whatever. But when it comes to deen, we're very okay just making it. We're just kind of like crawling, getting somewhere. But that's all that we want. No, no, no. Know that Allah has given you the capacity to achieve the best. Allah has given you the capacity to achieve the best. Don't think that Allah has only given you the capacity to do the bare minimum. The highest level of Jannah, Allah would have told us, or the Prophet would have told us, that it is only attainable by the prophets and those who are close to the prophets. No, no, the 7th, the highest level of paradise is attainable by us here. You can attain it. Jannah has no limits. And it's for you. You just have to ask yourself, do I want the highest levels? Do I want the best of the best, right? So, something to think about. So then, in the next chapter, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he begins to talk about the idea of something that if anybody's writing down some, jotting some notes down, it's a topic called in Arabic, muhasaba. Muhasaba. The word muhasaba is translated easily out to the idea of self-evaluation and self-accountability. Okay? How many of us ever, raise of hands, have had to hold ourselves accountable for something or the other? Okay? Good. No one's going to check in on you. No one's going to, you know, be, you know, next to you your entire life and hold your hand and walk you through every single situation in life. There's a certain point in every adult's life where they have to take accountability and evaluate who they are and what they do. Right? And a lot of times, and I'm going to say it because I was a product of this, you know, the education system in America in like grade school really sets you up to fail a lot. Like they tell you to go to, you know, your classes in high school and they're like, okay, so here's woodworking and, you know, like, here you go, time to go to chemistry and biology and calculus. And then when you get to college, they're like, how do you not know how to apply for FAFSA? And you're like, because what is that? What is FAFSA, right? What is money? And you have to learn a lot of things for yourself. And in a weird way, sometimes being thrown into the lion's den is the best way to learn, right? How many of us, like, as soon as we got into the academic life of a college student, did you finally realize, like, oh my God, I'm on my own here, right? I got to figure this out. My mother and father, no matter how, mashallah, you know, they helped so much, my siblings and I had to figure out a lot of college experiences on our own, right? There's a lot of things that you have to hold yourself accountable for because no one's going to hold your hand and walk you through that experience your entire time. You have to figure out how to do things on your own. This is the idea of accountability, of responsibility, of being able to evaluate yourself and see if you what you are doing is right or wrong. How many of us, let's think really, really intrusively, how many of us have had to learn or are still learning or even getting to the cusp of learning how to hold myself accountable for my thoughts before I act, right? Like I have to think twice before I do something. I can't just do things. You know, a lot of times we have this tendency to act impulsively. That impulse syndrome is huge with some of us. We do now and then we think about it later. And how many times has that ended us in very, very difficult situations? Somebody asks, did you not think about what you were doing? Did you not like calculate like what the outcomes and the circumstances of that would be after that certain decision that you made? And you realize you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think it was that deep. That's like the whole statement, right? I didn't know it was that deep. No, 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 it was that deep. You just didn't stop and think about it before you did it. And we'll talk about this, inshallah, in this chapter, that Imam al-Ghazali, he mentions that there's so many things that have consequences. Small decisions that you make will have consequences that are much greater than you think. Me deciding to come home at 7 or at 11 have differences in outcome. Me deciding to smile at somebody and not frown at them, or vice versa, frown at somebody instead of smiling at them, will have consequences. Me holding the door open or not holding the door open for somebody will have consequences, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Now, we're not talking about Islam being a religion that promotes anxiety in your thoughts, right? There's the opposite of this, where people get so bogged down about what they do that they can't even live a life of peace and tranquility because they're always thinking about, oh my God, what are they going to think? What's he going to say? What's she going to say? What's Baba going to think tonight? Right? Like, no, I get it, that's also unhealthy. There is a middle though. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we have made you ummatan wasata. We've made you a balanced nation for a reason, so that you see the middle path between every harsh extreme. You're able to appreciate the middle. There's a middle path here. And we'll talk about this inshallah today. Okay? So the first thing that Imam al-Ghazali, he mentions here, he says, مَا لَمْ تَعْمَلْ لَمْ He says, مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ لَمْ تَجِدِ الْأُخْرَى He says, he who does not work will have no reward. He sets a very baseline statement. He says, the person that does not work, a person, مَا لَمْ تَعْمَلْ They do not work, they're not going to have a reward. What does that mean? You are going to yield the reward of your hard work only if you put in that hard work. Islam is a religion of people who work extremely hard, y'all. We're not a religion of people who are lazy. This idea of kasal, this idea of laziness, is not something that the Prophet ﷺ ever encouraged in his community. Yeah, no, man, it's okay. Just lay in bed. You'll be fine, right? It's okay. Tomorrow will happen. You can do qada. No. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged, he lit a fire under people. Get up, man. Get up. How many of us, by the way, and I can tell you this is true, how many of us have like taken that weird like day off or 2 days off or 3 days off that turned into a week off and then 2 weeks off? And we realize like, dude, where did my time go? And you feel like you're wasting away. You feel like you're just kind of like slowly but surely kind of decaying. And you're like, I haven't done anything all week. Why? Because a person who hits the bed at night after a hard day's work, how good does that sleep feel, y'all? It feels good. Right? It feels good. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sleep a form of rest. Why? Because that rest is supposed to slap. It's supposed to hit hard. Why? Because you've earned it. You've earned it. Now, contrary to a person who doesn't do much with their day, they don't do much with their time, they go and hit the bed at night, and what happens? Bro, that random dude on your TikTok For You page shows up and tells you it's time to put the phone away. When Kevin comes on your phone For You page, you're like, man, I got some issues, bro. I have problems. Even the app is telling me to slow down a little bit. There's a huge issue with that. Because we are up. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts haven't actually been pushed today. We rested too hard. There's a way to rest but still be productive. I'm telling you, there is. You can still rest and be productive. But Imam al-Ghazali, he says, a person who does not work, they will not have a reward. Okay? And then he says, he shares a narration. He says, حُكِيَ أَنَّ رَجُلًا فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ There was an account of a man from the Bani Israel who worship عَبَدَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً He says that there was a man from the Bani Israel who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years, guys. 70 years he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I told you, think about this. If I told you somebody worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years, what would you say about like their spiritual state? Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's amazing. This man was a person who was close to God. He's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so then it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to test him before the angels, in front of the angels. Okay? فَأَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَيْهِ مَلَكًا يُخْبَرُهُ. So he sent an angel to tell him that أَنَّهُ مَعَ تِلْكَ الْعِبَادَةِ لَا يَلِقُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةُ. He said that you did not meet the merit of paradise even with all of your worship. Basically, all of your 70 years of worship, you will not receive the merit of paradise. You will not attain Jannah. Okay? So when the angel informed him of this, the angel told this man that even after 70 years of worship, you didn't make paradise. This man, he replies to this angel, he says, well, we were created for worship. That's all we were told to do. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. That, again, we have not created, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We've only been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the angel said, okay. And so he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked the angel, what did he say? And again, by the way, whenever Allah azza wa jal, he asks like an angel a question, oh, what did this person say, or what did that person say, how did they react? Allah azza wa jal is not asking because of lack of knowledge, na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking out of rhetoric. What did my abd tell you, O angel? What did he say? And so the angel, he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, you know best. And this is the etiquette, by the way. And you'll find this to be an etiquette of every sahaba, every sahabi that was around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask them questions, they would always respond, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lamu. Allah and his messenger always know better than me. And so it is the etiquette of the angels as well. So when Allah would ask the angels a question, the angels would respond, oh Allah, you know best. Allahu a'lamu. Allah knows best, okay? And so at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would say back to this angel, he would say to him that since he did not turn away from worshiping me, then with the same grace, I will not turn away from him. Because he knew his worship was the beginning of his salvation, I am not going to turn away from him. Just know that. Worship is the foundation of everything in your life. It is the meaning behind your actions. I'll give you guys an easy example here. What is the difference between a person who does not believe in God and they donate $100 and a person who believes in Allah Azza wa Jal and they donate $100? What's the difference? The difference is that the person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are donating $100, inshallah, with the thought that I'm doing this for Allah and Allah alone. I'm doing this for Allah and Allah alone. I would do this whether that person needed $100 or not. Yes, is there a human element of trying to help people? Of course there is. The human being becomes happy when they see somebody benefiting from their generosity. But is that the only thing that drives you? And I'll give you an example of this. I kind of tripped some people out with this today, by the way. Or not today, yesterday. Because how many of y'all, raise of hands, have ever heard the argument that we fast because we want to sympathize with those who are less fortunate than us? Raise your hands. Very good. It's almost every single person in here. So here's the question. Would the command to fast in the month of Ramadan be lifted if there were no miskeen on this planet? There was no one who was hungry on this planet, would you have to fast still? Absolutely you would. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The goal of fasting is always to لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't say fast so that you can feel what the hungry feel like. No. Because if there were no hungry people, you would still fast. Because that's what you were supposed to do as a believer. everything you do is to connect to Allah before any other tertiary reason. I pray. Why? Because I want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before prayer is a form of discipline for me. So, by the way, I've heard of this stuff. Some people are like, I pray because like it really helps me like manage my day. Habibi, what if it didn't help you manage your day? Would you abandon salah? No. What about zakah? Zakah, would you stop giving zakah if no one needed it? No, you would still give zakah. Why? Because zakah purifies your wealth. This is why we do what we do. So this ever imposing question when people ask, well, why can't I just do good things? Why can't I go to paradise if I'm just a good person? Because the word good is actually very, very subjective. How many of y'all have thought of something to be good 10 years ago and now no longer it's good anymore? Or how many of us thought something was bad 20 years ago and now we're like, it's not that bad. Good and bad is very subjective to the human experience, right? But what doesn't change? Connecting to Allah Azza wa Jal. You will connect to Allah whether you're 14, whether you're 40, or whether you're 80. Your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be a thing. It will never change. Your salah will still be a thing, whether you're a 15 or whether you're 50. That will never change, right? So, but to display Allah's immense mercy, Allah, He says, because this abd of mine didn't turn away from me, I will not turn away from him. And He says, O my angels, ya malaikati, O my angels, bear witness that I have forgiven him. Forgiveness is through ibadah, through worship. Attaining the height and the maqam and the stations and the ranks of Jannah depend upon your actions. Okay? So, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says something powerful. Okay? وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. By the way, just a correction here. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, is way more qualified than me that I could ever be. But I will say one thing. There are narrations that mention that this was actually not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this was actually a statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, because by word in Arabic is actually the exact same thing. So I have a feeling that it's actually more of the statement of Umar radiyallahu anhu. So he says here, but nonetheless, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوْ قَالَ عُمَرُ ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. He says, evaluate yourself, your work, before you are asked to account for them. Basically, what he's saying here is, take account for yourself before you are taken into account. It's a very powerful line here. I want everyone to live by this line. Take account for yourself before you are taken into account by somebody else. How many of us in here, let's a show of hands. How many of us in here have ever had that experience of a person telling you what you did wrong? Raise of hands. Hey, I noticed that you did this and this and this. Like, I just want to let you know that that wasn't right. And you were completely, like, blindsided. You didn't even know that that was coming. That this person was going to tell you, hey, I think you did that wrong. Or, hey, you definitely shouldn't have done that. That was really messed up that you did this. And you were blindsided. Do we ever make mistakes that we completely forget about? Of course we do. Of course we do. Such as to be a human being, right? We do so many things in a day where we have no idea what we did. Somebody ever get mad at you and you have no idea why they're mad at you? Your mother, you walk into the home and your mom's like, You're like, assalamu alaikum. She's like, wa alaikum salam. Right? Like, mama, you good? Inshallah, we'll see. One time I remember I walked into my parents' house and my grandmother was sitting there. May Allah preserve her. And I walked in, and it's my tradition. I go into my parents' house and I always spend at least 5 minutes, like particularly sitting with my grandmother before I get up out of that seat and do other things. So one time I walked in and I say salamu alaikum to my grandmother, and she goes, and I could tell she was off. Salamu alaikum. Walaikum salam. I'm like, how are you? Well, I'm okay. It's okay. You don't have to worry too much about me. After I'm gone, you don't have to check about me ever again. I'm like sitting here. I'm like staring at my feet. I'm like, whoa, what happened? What did I do to this woman? And she tells me, after giving me like that cold treatment, she goes, "You haven't called me for like a whole week. You haven't called me for an entire week." By the way, somebody who's 90 just gets a pass. Like, I understand it's like passive aggressive, and like if your friend did that to you and they're 21, I'm like, please just slap that person. Just tell me what's wrong, okay? You don't have the right to act like a 90-year-old, all right? You have to earn your stripes. My grandmother, you know, may Allah preserve her, has earned her stripes. So she gave me the sound treatment. She goes, "Oh, you don't have to worry about me after I'm gone." I'm like, "Oh my God." And she goes, "You didn't call me for an entire week." At that moment, I realized to myself, I said, "Subhanallah. Like, that's on me. That's on me. I've got to check up on her. I've got to check up on her. I should have been more on top of it. I should have made sure that I reached out to her this week. I should have done something better." So in Imam al-Ghazali, he quotes this beautiful teaching, evaluate yourself, right? حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Account for yourself. قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Before you are taken into account, before somebody can tell you that you did something wrong, take account for yourself. Doesn't it also feel good when someone tells you that you did something wrong? You're like, "Yeah, I know. I was just even thinking about it all week." That person's like, "Oh, wow." What does that tell you about somebody? They're extremely, extremely perceptive about their own actions. And usually a person who thinks about what they do, they leave less room for that moment for another person to tell them what they did wrong. Because a person who's self-evaluating, a person who's self-accountable, they usually go out and make amends for whatever wrong they did in their life before somebody else can tell them that they did something. If I made somebody upset, I can tell, I can read that I did something wrong, and I'm going to go up to that person and say, "I apologize, I'm sorry for whatever I did." This takes us a level of awareness that a lot of people actually don't have. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, one time it was a beautiful, beautiful statement. It's kind of a funny thing that he had with Aisha radiallahu anha. You know what he said? He said, "Ya Aisha," his wife, he says, "I know when you're angry with me." This is, by the way, I don't know if a lot of people are here probably married yet. You got married, mashallah, may Allah bless you for getting married super young. But it's a bold statement as a husband. If I went up to my wife, I'm like, "I know what makes you mad." And she's like, "Okay, you got one shot at this. Use that one shot wisely." And Aisha goes, Tell me. He was on the money, by the way. She goes, "Tell me." He said, "When you're angry, or when you're good with me, you're happy with me, you call Allah the Lord of Muhammad. When you're angry with me, you refer to Allah as Rabbul Ibrahim, the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You don't want to say my name." And she began to smile and laugh. How is this guy so good? Right? Like, how did he know that? Subhanallah. How does he know that? He's very perceptive. He's very perceptive. I can tell when you're angry. Y'all, I'm sure 100% in here, you guys know the way to get under your friend's skin. You know the way. It's that one topic. You're like, "So, what happened last night at basketball, man?" You know you're raising that dude's blood pressure right now. Right? You go up to a sister and you're like, "Oh, you know, like, what happened? What did you think about when you bought that dress last week?" You're like, "Oh my God, this girl want a death sentence?" Like, you know. Be aware of what you're saying. Evaluate yourself. The mistakes that we make, think about it. And by the way, a great way to do this is just leave time in your day to reflect over your own actions. Physical time. I'm not talking about just like you know, random things. No. Physical time. Like, you know how like you have like maybe like you're taking 15 hours a week and you have, you know, an hour for like this class, an hour for that class, and you got an hour for lab on Wednesday, you got this slotted for that day. Take an hour of your day or even 20 minutes of your day after your salah is over and just sit and think about everything that you've done that day. Everything you've done. Every conversation you've had. Was I good in this conversation with this one person? Was I good when it came to like that one thing that I mentioned? Think about what we said, okay? And so after that, he says, "Weigh, wazinu a'malakum qabla an tuzanu." Weigh your deeds before they are weighed for you. Weigh your deeds before they're weighed for you. You're not too happy about a certain way that you did something in your life? Go back and do it again. How many of us have repeated good deeds before because we just felt like we didn't give it our all? Think about it, right? One time I read the Quran, but I kind of rushed through it. I'm thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm going to go back and try again. This is that self-weighing. How did I do in terms of the weight and the quality of my deeds, right? And then he quotes here a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. And this is a very powerful statement where he says, قَالَ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He says, مَنْ ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ. He says, a person who thinks they have thoughts and assumptions that they can achieve all their goals without hard work, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that this person is delusional. They're dreaming. They can achieve their goals without hard work. They can just sit there and think, yeah, man, I got big plans. Y'all ever heard that? You talk to a friend, you're like, yeah, man, what's going on with you? Man, I got big plans. Habibi, you've had big plans for the past 12 years. The last time I asked you 5 years ago, you were also on big plans. When's that big plan coming? You know? The dude just sitting there writing. I make a dua. Can I tell you guys what my dua is? When I walk into any coffee shop, I make dua that all those hipster people that are writing on their laptops, that all of those writings come into fruition one day. Please do not allow it just to be written. Just do something, inshallah, with that writing, right? Don't just sit there and just like gather data. That's not what we do. We don't just think. We act. Acting is a big deal. That's why iman is not much without amal. What does Allah say? Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Yes, you have faith, but that faith does not mean much if you don't back it up. I can claim to everybody and their family that I'm a faithful person, but if my faith isn't backed up by the actions that indicate that I'm a faithful person, then my faith is actually on the chopping block. Yeah, this person claims to be like faithful. This person claims to be. And again, our job is not to go around judging people, but it's to think about our own selves. Like, am I just lip service? I just tell people, I just talk a big game? No. But then check what Ali, he says. He says, وَمَنْ ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ بِالْبَذْلِ الْجَهْدِ يَصِلُ فَهُوَ مُتَعَنِّن. Now he says the opposite. He says, a person who thinks that they will attain their goals purely off of actions, that person is overconfident and a little bit arrogant. Now, these are the people who think like, yeah, I don't need God. I'm just going to do hard work. I'm going to do hard work, man. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do anything. I'm going to rely on my studying and my hard work and my applications and my meetings and my this and my that. That person is too confident in themselves. So what's Ali radiallahu anhu really trying to say? What he's trying to say is be a combination of trusting in Allah and working really hard. Because guess what? A person who trusts in Allah and works hard, what they do is if they get the rewards of their hard work, they're thankful to Allah. And if they don't get the rewards of their hard work, they're still thankful to Allah. Why? Because they always have Allah as the foundation. A person who does hard work and they are absent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do they say to themselves when that hard work doesn't pan out? This doesn't make sense. I studied all night. I submitted my applications on time. I did everything that I was supposed to do, but I didn't get the response. And this person's confused. But you know what they missed? They missed that if it wasn't written for them, it doesn't matter. A person who believes in Allah and they do the hard work and then they even possibly don't get the yield that they want, they're able to say, well, Qadr Allah. Qadr Allah. It wasn't written for me. So Ali radiallahu anhu is giving everybody a literal winning recipe here. Win, get this W. Why? Because if you trust Allah and you work hard, you're happy regardless of the outcome. Even if you don't get a response back from that program or that job or that school, you're still going to be okay. You've trusted that Allah will take care of you. And if Allah closes the door, Allah will open another one. I'm guaranteeing you that right now. Allah closes the door, Allah will open another one. I was literally sitting with Mufti Muntasir, one of our teachers here at the seminary, and he was telling me a really cool story today. He said that he was denied entry into a certain master's, like a certain program, and he was beating himself for it. He's like, and Mufti Muntasir, by the way, is like a human encyclopedia. This guy's smart. He's like, how could I not, like, why did they deny my application? And he said a few months later, he got accepted into one of his master's programs that he still to this day benefits from. Allah closes a door, Allah opens another one. Don't beat yourself up, okay? And at the very end, subhanAllah, he quotes a beautiful statement of Al-Hasan. He says that Hasan mentions, seeking and demanding paradise without actions is a sin from the highest of sins. Dhanbun min adh-dhunubi. Seeking paradise, talabul jannati bila amalin. Seeking paradise without actions is of the highest sins. You think you're just gonna make and waltz yourself into paradise without thinking the hard work is involved with it? No. And he says, he also mentions the sign of attaining reality is in giving up regard for your work, but not giving up the work in and of itself. What does that mean? That means that true success is a person who doesn't think that their work is everything. They're not relying on their hard work, but they understand the work is a part of the recipe. No, I don't rely on my hard work. I rely on Allah. Because after my hard work is done and I'm maxed out and I've studied for hours and days and weeks, my true tawakkul is alallahi. It's on Allah. Because if I rely on myself only, I'm going to be so disappointed, y'all, with everything in this world. Everything in this world. And then he finishes with a beautiful statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, the wise man, the smart person, and I'm gonna read this guy to you guys, it's actually so profound, subhanAllah. He says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa'amila lima ba'da al-mawti. He says, the wise person, the smart person, is the one who judges himself and works lima ba'da al-mawt, for something after they die. Their hard work isn't only for this dunya. They're busy, but they're also busy for the akhirah. It's like that person who's like grinding away at school, taking full time, taking classes, really doing well in them, but they still have time to come to like the masjid at night. Oh, they're working hard, but their hard work is not only for the dunya. Their hard work is for something that will benefit them after they die. Because after death also requires your attention. Sometimes we get so caught up in the dunya that we max out in the dunya completely. And we got no time left for the akhirah. So when we finish all our classes, we come back home and it's time for Isha. We barely pray Isha because, man, I'm so tired, man. Today was like a tough day. No, it's okay to have a tough day. But never max yourself out to the point where you have no time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that a person, they do so much that they forget about Allah. They forget that the effort that they were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supposed to be used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for the dunya. And then he says, and this is a little bit of a harsh line, but check this out. He says, wal ahmaqu man atba'a nafsahu hawaaha wa tamanna 'ala Allahi. He says, the dumb person. The word ahmaq literally means stupid. He says, the dumb person, the one who is lacking intelligence, this person is a person who pursues anything hawaha, that they desire. Oh, they just do whatever they want to. وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But they vainly long for Allah. Now check this out. This is a confusing line here. Why would he say that a dumb person is a person who does whatever they want to with their desires, and then they think about Allah, and then they desire Allah? No. What this means is that this person, all they do is work for the dunya, for their desires, and then they're like, yeah, Allah will forgive me. Oh yeah, Allah will forgive me. I don't have to worry about that. And there's actually an ayah in the Quran that I want to share with you guys, which is powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ They think that they're actually fooling Allah, but truly they're actually fooling themselves. They tell themselves like, yeah, man, like dunya, I gotta study, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Yeah, Allah, yeah, I'll work hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm older. The whole issue, oh, I'll pray when I'm older. I'll read Quran when I'm older. I'll make dua when I'm older. No one guaranteed that you're ever gonna walk out of this room alive. It's a harsh reality. Take account for yourself before you are taken into account, okay? So inshallah, we're going to pause there for the day. Inshallah ta'ala, next Thursday, we are going to continue on with the next chapter. And also, we're going to do a little bit of Q&A, bithnillahi ta'ala, because next Thursday, inshallah, is going to be a little bit of a shorter chapter on the topic of niyyah, of intentions, inshallah ta'ala, okay? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us reward for our efforts, our small efforts, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our plentiful sins and shortcomings, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon us and shower His mercy upon the people that we love. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, what I want everyone to do really quickly, if you're not already on the Telegram chat, is you can scan the QR code on the screen, and we'll add you, inshallah ta'ala, to the Telegram group that we have for our Thursday night community, so you can keep up with all the programs and everything, inshallah. I always send like a rough summary of the discussion every single Thursday after the class is over, so everyone kind of has tangibles to kind of take home with them, inshallah, for the weekend. Tomorrow, by the way, everybody, we do have a bonfire, inshallah. Everyone know this? Tomorrow night, inshallah, we have a bonfire at 8 p.m. So right after Maghrib, inshallah, we're going to be gathering here right outside, and we're going to, inshallah, enjoy a nice little time fireside. We're going to enjoy some food, some snacks. We're also going to, inshallah, be doing a really solid discussion together, inshallah ta'ala. That'll be tomorrow here at 8 p.m. And we're going to end with Isha at 9:40. Okay, so inshallah, lock it in your calendar. We'll see y'all, inshallah, tomorrow night. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.